From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran saying hello once again and welcome to the program. Perhaps as yet you've not written to tell us that you're a listener to our broadcast. Well, we'd be glad to hear from you. We're certainly very grateful for the correspondence that we've already received, but we'd like to hear from more of our listeners. If you'd like some gospel literature, then do request it from us. It's free of charge and it's entirely without obligation. Maybe you've got some spiritual problem or concern that we can help you with. Do take a few moments to write, and we'll be glad to correspond with you and help you from God's Word. Today, the Reverend Ian Brown is our preacher, and he's bringing another message from John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, this time, Letting the Bible Speak on Heaven. That message is coming up in a few moments after these words in song.
Is heaven an exclusive club for the privileged few? Will it be sparsely populated? Will the streets of glory have only a small number of persons moving along them? Will its inhabitants number no more than 144,000? Good morning and welcome to our broadcast going out over Gospel AM. In a moment, as I wind up my short series of studies on the words of Jesus in John chapter 3 verses 17 and 18, I'll be answering the questions about heaven and God's salvation that many people are asking today. But before we get to what is our third message in the series, let's refresh our memories by reading the lines of our text again, John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The famous missionary John G. Patton was translating the Bible into the New Hebridean language, but he ran into difficulties with the word faith. He searched long and hard for some term in the native language that would accurately reflect the meaning of to believe. One day, while he was working on that translation, a native came into his room. Tired out, he flung himself down on one chair, rested his feet on another chair, and said how good it was to lean his whole weight on the chairs. Immediately, Dr. Patton wrote down the word the native had used for lean his whole weight, for in that he had his word for believe. That's exactly what Jesus intends by the term believe when he uses it in John 3, the verses 17 and 18. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We've been exploring these words for a couple of weeks already. So far, we've drawn your attention to the gracious purpose of God concerning this world. Jesus came here with a heart that beat for man's redemption and not for his ruin. He came to save, not to condemn. We have thought of the responsibility of sinners in this world. As far as my action with regard to this great salvation of God is concerned, I'm expected to believe, to lean my whole weight upon it, to do what Julia Sterling spoke of when she said, I am redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord, my soul from bondage free has found at last a resting place in him who died for me. This morning I would encourage and urge you to come and place your faith in Christ by emphasizing how the tone of this text is one where the passion of Jesus toward the sinner is stated. Our text in John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 comes in the same breath as that classic text of expansive love, John 3, verse 16. Everybody knows it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then we have verse 17 and verse 18. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That's large light, was the verdict of one Indian as a missionary brought those words to his attention. Read it again, he asked. And as the wondrous story of the divine love was read, heard, and welcomed, the man then said, it's true, I know it, I feel it. There's no doubt about it. You catch something of the dimensions of God's love, mercy, and grace by just peering into those words. It's so strong and so wide and so embracing. And this love and the gospel which proclaims it has been carried to all points of the compass, and has sparked off wherever it's gone a most blessed moral and spiritual revolution. Many thousands, even millions of men, women and young people have received it by faith, and they will enter into heaven as a result. Question today is, how big is heaven? In Revelation chapter 21, the verse 16, we're given some measurements of the city of God which John saw in his vision. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. I wonder if you've ever sat down to make a few calculations based on those figures. I know it's not that easy. There are so many variables and so many assumptions that have to be made, but still to make the calculation is pretty interesting. Now, giving more than generous latitude to all possible points, it's been calculated that, given the dimensions here in Revelation 21 verse 16, there'd be a dwelling of 420 feet long, 420 feet wide, and 420 feet high, if we needed it, for each person. Roughly equivalent to 2,000 times the size of the average family house. Quite a mansion for each of us. I hope that gives some idea of the size of heaven. To say the least, there's plenty of room. And just by the way, if, as some insist today, there'll only be 144,000 people in heaven, then the nearest person, if they were all equidistant one from the other, would be 158,400 feet, that is 30 miles away. You'd have quite a journey to meet up with Abraham or Isaac or Elijah. Heaven, a collection of holy hermits? I don't think so. One of the most inspiring poems I've come across on the subject of heaven was written by Norman Gunnison. O house of many mansions, thy doors are open wide, and dear are all the faces upon the other side. Thy portals, they are golden, and those who enter in shall know no more of sorrow, of weariness and sin. O house of many mansions, my weary spirit waits and longs to join the ransomed within thy pearly gates, who enter through thy portals, the mansions of the blessed, who come to thee aweary and find in thee their rest. In Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10, John saw multitudes in glory. After this I beheld, he said, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. I recall what Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 and verse 29, in answer to a question from his disciples, Lord, are there few that be saved? Jesus said, And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. What a day it'll be, when from every point of the compass those saints come marching in. Heaven isn't an exclusive club for the few. Multitudes will be there. And yet, despite the numbers of those who will be there, I call on you today. There's room in God's heaven for every sinner who repents and who exercises faith in Jesus Christ. That's what our text has been all about. I love those words of Iris Stamples, though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Saviour still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. I pray that if you haven't already come to the cross and exercised a real faith in the work that Jesus Christ did there for you, shown repentance over the sin that you've committed, I pray that you'll approach him by faith today, that you'll call upon his name for mercy, that you'll receive the life eternal that only he can give. Thank you once more for listening. May the Lord bless you richly.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.